Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 3, we were talking about how disgusting the sight of the destruction of Nineveh must have been. Let's continue with that today. Foundation for the Bible stands. Many times looking back may have a very nice odor to it. However, some may look back with deep and many regrets, realizing that was the worst odor of their life. Although at the time, the smell of it seemed so nice, but as an odorless gas, it can kill and destroy, and much pain, much in the way of broken spirit, that the fun of the pleasure was not worth the consequences and their pain. And so, there are many probably listening to me right now could talk about that. Some look in the same matter ahead and use reason to change the course of life from the present that can also end up a terrible odor one regrets later, or it can be a good odor because it was built on verifiable truth, that is, the Word of God. Now, in our text, we see that retro look in verse 6. Again, let me read that to you. I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. Now, when God says, I will cast abominable filth upon thee, he means he's going to make the destruction of Nineveh so abominable and disgusting, it makes a normal man sick just to think about it, let alone look upon it. The flow of blood, the decapitated, dismembered, and destroyed by fire bodies left a terrible, very terrible odor. Women were publicly ravished to their shame, perhaps is the best way of saying that. Yet at the time, the best perfumes and the highest living standard of the day was in Nineveh, the Assyrian capital. Leveled walls and homes, Nineveh soon was covered with a great deal of desert sand. That her location was not found for over 2,000 years. As a matter of fact, Alexander the Great rode over that very place less than 150 years later, and he knew not of it. He didn't even realize that they were riding over on their horses and chariots. They were riding over a place, the place where Nineveh had stood as the number one world power. It was not a place where one would stop and set up camp by the time Alexander was coming by. No one in a short time looked back with a nostalgic pride of that great place called Nineveh. And that makes me think of the Russian coalition, how they're destroyed in the tribulation period, and they are a long time in burying them. It'll take 7 months to bury them all, according to Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 11 and 12. Later in the tribulation, I think of Armageddon, when the blood flows to the horse's bridle. Wow, to the horse's bridle? Oh, yes. The blood will flow to the horse's bridle at that time. And it is abominable. It's a sickening sight. And in Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21, it tells us that the fowls of the air are filled with the bodies, the blood of those dead folks. As a matter of fact, the word filled there means gorged. Now, some people have tried to talk about the increase of birds in Israel. Well, whether there's an increase of them now or not doesn't matter. When the angel of the Lord calls out and God calls out, the birds will gather together knowing they have a great feast coming up because God called them there. Now, having said that, I see another retro look. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we read this, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Oh, are you washing the blood of the Lamb? And verse 6 says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Oh my goodness. When you see that, what lies ahead, because made us kings and priests, is forever and ever. Ruling and reigning with Christ forever and ever. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So my friend, when we look back from Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we realize that being made kings and priests, yes, we had to go through some things here on earth. And yet, Romans 8, 17 and 18 tells us this. "And if children, that is, you're saved, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him." Now understand, that word "if" is a conditional word, because some are going to be saved so as by fire. They'll be in heaven. They'll be saved. They'll have eternal life, but they may not be ruling. They may not be priests in the way that the Lord had planned to use them in eternity. So, "if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time," those sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. How great is that glory? You ever see the stories, and, you know, as a pastor, sometimes it's unfortunate that you're bearing a child. But it's just as hurtful for somebody who's been married 50 years or more to bury that spouse. I can remember when my father was alive and one of my brothers had died. He told me, he says, "I never expected to outlive one of my children." And yet many of you have done that. And you know the pain that that involved. It hurts so deeply. And yet, all the pain that you can suffer here on earth, whether it's the persecution, like we read the persecution in the Middle East when they were burning bodies of Christians because they wouldn't convert to Islam, when they were beheading people, killing their children in front of their eyes if they would not convert to Islam. I mean, so many horrible things and the suffering of that. And yet, that suffering, as hard as that is, would seem and will seem minute in comparison to the greatness of the glory that we have in heaven. So the greatness of our suffering here is nothing, not even worthy to be compared to the greatness of the glory that we have in heaven. Now, I don't know what that glory is about, my friend. Let me just be very straight and honest with you. I have no idea what that glory is about. I know the word has the idea of shining brightly. In Daniel chapter 12, we're told they that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. In Revelation chapter 19, again chapter 22, the messenger there was showing John all of the greatness of this heavenly city, New Jerusalem. And John was so moved, the apostle, that he bowed down to worship this guy, and he says, "Get up. I'm of thy brethren, the prophets." In other words, he was not an angel as we think of an angel, a spirit being. He was an angel in that he was a messenger of God, and he was given this message to John of the beauties of heaven and showing it to him. And as God's messenger, this man had lived on earth, had been a prophet, had served the Lord, and now he is also clothed in God's righteousness. Do you remember when Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were talking with Jesus, and they were actually talking about the Jesus going to Jerusalem and where he would give his life for their sin. And as they were speaking to him, and it said that Jesus' garments had become white and glistering, as no fuller could white them. And we find that Peter, John, and James that are there with Jesus, they see Moses, who had lived probably at least 1,500 years earlier, and there's also Elijah, who lived over 700 years earlier. So those two are standing right there in front of them. And they know who they are, yet they don't have a name tag on. They weren't announced. They didn't have pictures to say, "Oh, this is what Elijah looks like," or "This is what Moses looked like." They didn't have that. And what I'm saying to you is simply this. They knew who they were. And because of the brightness and the glory of that moment, Peter spoke up and said, "Let us make three tabernacles." The brightness of the glory, even on Moses and Elijah, was so great, he thought, we got to worship all three of these guys. And that's when the Father said, "No, worship Christ. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Worship him. Worship God."
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's truth. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.